our other series, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com and you can watch those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. It's great to have you with us. Well, we are wrapping up this series today, and in John 3:30, the Apostle John says, "He, that is Jesus, must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." Jesus must become greater and greater in our lives, and we must become less and less. Unfortunately, the Roman Emperor Augustus didn't live by this verse. Why didn't he live by this verse? Well, because he decreed that a census should be taken. A census should be taken, ultimately benefiting him so he could collect more taxes. It was all about him. Well, let's jump right into our story here in Luke 2, verses 1 through 5, and we'll see that God used a human decree to fulfill a divine decree. Chapter 2, verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. "What is it I want you to know? What is it I want you to know? You may not be where you want to be right now in your life. You may not be where you want to be in your life right now. In this season of your life, right? In this position that you're in right now, you may not be where you want to be. However, God can get you where he wants you to be. God can get you where he wants you to be. Your marriage may not be where you want it to be. God can get it where he wants it to be. Your kids may not be where you want them to be. God can get them where he wants them to be. You may not be in the job you want to be in, the position you want to be in. God can get you where he wants you to be." Jeremiah 29:11, you know the verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Well, what happened when Joseph and Mary were where God wanted them to be? Let's read on in our story, verse 6. "And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." What is it I want you to notice here? What is it I want you to notice here? Joseph and Mary were where they needed to be. They were where they needed to be. However, there was no lodging available for them. Now, what does this mean for you and me? We may be exactly where God wants us to be. We may be exactly where God wants us to be. However, we may not have everything that we want. Right? We may not have everything we want. What does this mean? Right? What do we need to remember? Well, we need to remember it's not about us and what we want, but about him and what he wants, right? It's not about you and me and what we want, but it's all about him. It's all about Jesus and what 7 and 9, the prophet Agur says this, "O God, I beg two favors from you. Let me have them before I die. First, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. Who is it that God honors? Who is it that God honors? Believers who are poor." Believers who are poor. What do you mean by poor, Ed? What do you mean by poor? I mean people who are dependent upon Him. Who are you dependent upon? Who is it today that you are dependent upon? Or are you boasting about what you've accomplished? James says this in James 1, verse 9. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. You know, the truth is, we're rich, right? You and me are rich. You may say, well, Ed, you haven't seen my bank account, right? Consequently, it's hard for us to depend upon the Lord, right? We live in America, and because we're rich, it's harder for us to depend upon the Lord. Getting back to our story, were the shepherds dependent upon the Lord? Yes. How do we know the shepherds were dependent upon the Lord? Because the Lord appeared among them. The Lord appears to those who are dependent upon Him. God shows Himself to those who seek Him, look for Him, long for Him, are dependent upon Him. Verse 8, back in our story here. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel did what? Reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Here's a question for you today. What is it you're afraid of? What is it you're afraid of in your life right now? That this could happen, that this might happen. Are you afraid of not being able to pay the bills? Are you afraid of losing the farm? Are you afraid that your health is going downhill? What is it the Lord wants to do? Reassure you. How? By letting you know that a Savior has been born for you. A Savior has been born for you. Why is this good news? Because even though you may be poor, He's rich. And even though your body is wasting away, one day He will give you a new body. Now, what should this cause us to do? Break out in praise. And this is exactly what the angels of heaven did. Let's continue on, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." With whom God is pleased? in the Lord, when we trust Him with our lives, we become His sons and daughters. Now let me ask you this. Are you pleased with your sons and daughters? Pleased in the sense that you love them? The answer is yes, even though they don't always do the things you'd like them to do, right? Even though your kids don't always do the things you'd like them to do, you know, the same is true for you and me. God is pleased with us in the sense that He loves us, even though we don't always do the things He'd like us to do. What did the shepherds do after the angels returned to heaven? What did they do? Let's read on here, verse 15. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After what? Seeing him. After seeing him, beholding him, the shepherds told who? They told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. What's my prayer? What's my prayer today? That you'd see Jesus. That you'd see Jesus today. What happens when you see the Lord? What happens when you see Jesus? When you behold His glory? When you see Him for who He is, the King of kings and Lord of lords? You tell everyone about Him. When you see Jesus, truly see Him, you tell everyone about Him. The shepherds told everyone about Him. How did those who heard the shepherd's story respond? How did they respond? Let's continue on, verse 18. All who heard the shepherd's story were what? Astonished. They were astonished. What does the word astonished mean here? What does that word mean here? It means people took notice. When you tell people what Jesus has done for you, they'll take notice. Right? When you tell people your story, how Jesus has transformed you, right? Change the way you think about things, the way you live. People will take notice. So don't be afraid to talk about what Jesus has done for you. In fact, we should all be doing what Mary did. What did Mary do? Luke 2:19. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them. Here's a question for you. What's in your heart today? What's in your heart today? Jesus said, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." What are you talking about these days? What are you talking about these days? The weather? The Bears game last night? Sorry, Packer fans. What are you talking about these days? If you haven't been talking about the Lord, if you haven't been talking about Jesus, it may be because He's not in your heart. If you haven't been talking about Him, it may be because He's not there. What do you need to do to get Jesus in your heart? What do you need to do? First, ask Him to forgive you for your sins and to be your Savior. Right? Ask Him to forgive you for your sins and to be your Savior. Second, spend time alone with Him in His Word. Open up your Bible. Spend time alone with Him. And say, "Speak to me, Lord. I need to hear from You right now in my life. I need to hear from You, Lord." Why do you spend time with Him in His Word? So that you will grow into a full experience of your salvation. I feel a full experience into maturity because they're not spending time alone with God in His Word. Peter says this, 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, some of you have those babies here this morning, right? You must crave pure spiritual milk. Crave that time alone with the Lord. Why? So that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Lord, I need you. I need you more than anything else today. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness, what was the result of Joseph and Mary experiencing the Lord's kindness? What was the result? Well, the result was they went to the temple with their baby and dedicated him to the Lord. Right? They brought their baby, right? They brought their child to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord. Verse 21. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus. The name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be what? Dedicated. Dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Why is it important we dedicate ourselves to the Lord? Why is it important that you and me dedicate ourselves to Jesus, to the Lord? Why is that important? Because we belong to Him. We belong to Him. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. What's that high price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. So you must honor God with your body. Perhaps you haven't been honoring God with your body. Maybe your heart and your mind have been somewhere else, right? Doom scrolling. Off in your job. Off in your sport. Off with your kids. Maybe you haven't been honoring the Lord with your body when it comes to sexual purity. Maybe you've fallen into some type of sexual sin. If so, what is it I want you to know? What is it I want you to know? Jesus gave His life to free you from that sin. He gave His life to free you, to set you free. Titus 2:14, Paul says this, He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin. Anger, right? Hurt, pain. You have it this morning? Something you did? He gave His life to free you from that. Jesus gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. What is it you need to know? What is it, then, you need to do? First, forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself. Jesus has forgiven you. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation. There's no guilt for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus gave His life to free you from that sin. You need to forgive yourself. Second, realize that you belong to Him. If you put your faith in Jesus, you're His son, you're his daughter. You belong to him. And he loves you. What's the third thing you need to do? Be totally committed to doing the right thing. Be totally committed to doing the right thing. In the past, you may have done the wrong thing. But from this day forward, you're going to work on doing the right thing. Getting back to our story. With Simeon, totally committed to doing the right thing. Yes. Right now you're saying, who's Simeon? Let's continue on. Verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, until he had seen Jesus. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. What is it I want you to notice here? The Spirit led Simeon to where he needed to be. And if you have God's Spirit living inside of you, he's going to lead you to where you need to be. Now, why did the Spirit lead Simeon to where he needed to be? Because he did the right thing. He was righteous and devout, right? And he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to return, right, to come. Excuse me. What does this mean for you and me? If we do what's right, if we do the right thing, and we're waiting for Jesus to return, longing for his return, looking for his return, hoping, right, praying for it, he's going to lead us to where we need to be. What did Simeon do now that he was where God wanted him to be? What did he do now that he was where God wanted him to be? Where he needed him to be? Verse 28, about to close here soon. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation. I've seen the Lord, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light. He's the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." So what is Christmas all about? What is it all about? It's about a light. It's about a light. Who's the light? Jesus is the light. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to hear about the light. They don't want to hear about the light today, right? Happy holiday, not a Merry Christmas. Why don't they want to hear about the light? Because their deeds are evil. Their actions are evil. John 3:19, I like the way the NIV version translates this verse. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds or their actions were evil. What are you saying, Ed? I'm saying don't get discouraged when people reject what you have to say. Don't get discouraged when people reject what you have to say. Listen here to our story, what happened, what Simeon said, what happened to Jesus. Verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child here is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will what? Many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. It's going to be revealed what people are actually thinking. And a sword will pierce your very soul. When you talk about Jesus with your family, If they're cold, distant, and indifferent, then more than likely, they don't know the Lord. If they're excited to talk with you about Jesus and share with you what He is doing in their life and how they're growing in their faith, in their walk, in relationship with the Lord, and you share how you're growing and how you're excited about church, then more than likely, they know the Lord. Either way, God has called us to point people to the light. If you run into that cold, distant, and indifferent person, as I will in my family, if we leave for Tennessee today and drive the 10 hours and I go see my family in Michigan and my sister and her family, I'm going to see some people who are cold, distant, and indifferent. But I'm not going to let that discourage me. Instead, I'm going to pray, Lord, help me. Break the ice. Soften their heart. Give me the words to speak to them. Because I know that they don't know you. Well, they've told me they go to church, but it's clear they don't have a relationship with you, Jesus. Because as soon as I start to talk about you, they shut the conversation down and redirect it. They don't know you. So may I not be offended by that, but may I look for an opportunity to crack that ice. If you think you're not where you're supposed to be today, then ask God to put you where He wants you to be. If you think you're not where you're supposed to be today, then ask God to put you where He wants you to be. I want to be where God wants me to be. Because if I'm not where God wants me to be, then I'm going to be miserable. Right? I'm like to be on an island. Way south of here. But that's not where God wants me to be. This is where God's called me to be. And the truth is, I'm very happy to be here. Because there's no other place I'd rather be than where God wants me to be. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm not where I need to be in my relationship and walk with the Lord. The truth is, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not walking with Him. And I need to get Him into my heart. I want to ask Him to forgive me for my sins. I want to ask Him to be my Savior. Because I've been running from Him. I'm like the guy in this opening video. I'm running from the Lord, and the Lord keeps bringing me back to where I needed to be. How this guy found himself in the church that morning is unbelievable. But God does unbelievable things. He gets us and brings us where we need to be. It's not an accident that you're here this morning. You may think, well, how did I get here? The Lord brought you here. He wanted you to be here today. You've never asked Him to be your Lord and Savior. We're going to lead you in a prayer. Give you that opportunity. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like I'm where I need to be right now. I'm not doing what I feel God wants me to do. I haven't been totally committed to doing the right thing because I've been committed to doing what I want to do in my thing. It's been about me, like the Roman Emperor Augustus. It's not about us.